Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, at your bidding, we have come into your house to pray and to hear your saving word, that we may obtain instruction, consolation, and refreshment for our souls. Therefore, we humbly implore you to open our mouth, ears, heart, and mind by your Holy Spirit, that we may rightly learn your holy word, and with hearty desire, eagerness, and devotion, attend to it, and from it learn to know you, that in the midst of all trials and needs, we may have your comfort, mercy, and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. We believe, teach, and confess that the only rule and norm according to which all teachings, together with all teachers, should be evaluated and judged are the prophetic and apostolic scriptures of the Old and New Testament alone. That's what we believe as Lutherans. That's in the Formula of Concord, the epitome on the rule and norm for faith. Or if you want the shorthand, sola scriptura, scripture alone. This means that our faith and our beliefs are not founded on our emotions. Our faith and our beliefs are not founded on our personal experience. They're not founded on tradition. They're not founded on the man Martin Luther, as some people caricature Lutheranism. They're not founded on cultural norms. That's what Jesus was talking, or that what Paul was writing about when he said that people will seek someone who will soothe their itching ears. It's not founded on political affiliation or even which family you are born into. Our faith, our beliefs are founded on Scripture alone, the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. In the epistle text from 2 Timothy, we heard these words. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All Scripture is breathed out by God. It means this book that we call the Bible is not the mere work of men. It is the work of God. Now, the Bible wasn't written all at one time, right? Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible that we call the Torah or the Pentateuch. David wrote many of the Psalms. Many of the prophets in the Old Testament are named after the prophet who wrote it. The majority of the books in the New Testament were written by Paul and John. And for this reason, because there are so many human authors, many people believe that there could potentially be human error within the pages of Scripture. After all, we confess that we are but poor, miserable sinners before God. However, we shouldn't be so bold as to deny the Holy Spirit in that way. Sure, the Bible is written by sinful men who could have erred. But if we zoom in on this reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, we see this breathed out by God. That's four words in English. In the Greek language, it is one word. Theopneustos. And if you break down that word, theo means God, and pneustos is also the same word as pneuma, which means spirit. So, to render the verse a little differently, all Scripture is God's Spirit. All Scripture is inspired by God. That means pouring forth from Him and Him alone. And yes, sinful men wrote it down, right? Sinful men use their handwriting and their hand to do it. But no error can be found within the pages of Scripture because its origin is not from man. Its origin is from the Holy Spirit. Its origin is from perfect God. Now again, knowing and believing this is of the utmost importance. because it puts the Bible in a place of preeminence in our lives. It gives us a solid foundation on which we can stand. And again, it helps us from seeking someone who would preach what our itching ears want to hear. Scripture and Scripture alone. That's why we believe, teach, and confess. And that's why we live how we live. But then it leads us into these other uses for God's word, right? God's word is Scripture. It's all true. It's all holy. It's all pure. There are no errors. And then Paul instructs Timothy to use it for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And so we'll take those one by one. First on the list is teaching. Why would we need teaching? Well, first and foremost, Jesus tells us to do it. Our monthly Bible verse, which I left on the altar, is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, Jesus says, "Go and baptize all nations, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you." And so not only does our Lord tell us that teaching is important, but let's consider the power that teaching has in the life of a Christian. If someone is not a Christian, and you teach them about Jesus and his salvation that he wins for humanity, they might actually believe. Teaching has the power to create faith by the Holy Spirit, because the word is inspired. Teaching then sustains us in the faith. Teaching also increases our faith. If you want to be weak in faith, if you want to be a lukewarm Christian, then neglect God's word and it'll be done for you. But if you want to be strong in the faith, if you want to be well-grounded in what the truth is, then make good use of God's word and learn it. Allow it to be your teacher. Second on the list is reproof. This means that the Scriptures will help you to learn when you are wrong. And guess what? We're wrong a lot. We confess to be poor, miserable sinners, and that's true. That's true. And honestly, now we kind of throw it out as a platitude because we say it every Sunday. But truth be told, we also hate it when our sin gets pointed out, especially when someone comes to us and confronts us with something that we have done wrong. And because the Bible does this, because the Bible makes us feel bad and points out our faults, a lot of people like to neglect it. I don't want to feel bad, so I'm not going to read it. Time to repent. If that's describing you, it's time to repent. Open the Scriptures. It's supposed to make you feel bad. It means God's law is working. It means God's law, through the Word that is inspired by God, is readying your heart to receive Jesus. And that's a good thing. Third on the list, correction. Okay, so now we know we're wrong because the Scriptures has reproved us, right? But then it also teaches us not only what we've done wrong, but now how we can do right, how we can do good. And so if you don't want to know how to live a good and God-pleasing life, then neglect the Bible. But if you want your life to be good and God-pleasing, it is time to start studying. Open the Scriptures. Read them. There is wisdom within the pages that teach us how to live our lives. And that's good. And the more we learn the Scriptures, the more we know of the Scriptures, the more our lives will start to reflect the Scriptures. Fourth, training in righteousness. And I would contend this is probably the most important one. We believe that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel. You cannot be righteous on your own. In eternal matters, you have no free will. You need Jesus. And so no matter how many times we confess we are poor, miserable sinners, that is not the point of salvation. The point of salvation is when the Word trains us in righteousness. And that means it trains us to focus on our Savior. It trains us to know that what Jesus has done on the cross, he has done for you. Because in believing that, you become righteous. In believing what Jesus has done, you are forgiven. And you will inherit eternal life. See, our works, our holiness, they will always fall short. And so we need the scriptures to point us to our Savior. After all, it's through the scriptures we know anything about Jesus, isn't it? I mean, how would we know that Jesus accomplished his death on the cross unless we had the evangelists write the gospels for us? How would we know anything about Jesus' resurrection unless we get those accounts in the scripture? How would we know any of God's promises if God had not written them down for our benefit? And I mean the Old and the New Testament too. I mean, the Old Testament starts with the fall into sin, and then God makes a promise, and the entirety of the Old Testament leading up to Christ is how God is going to bring his people through adversity, through their history, in order that he would fulfill his promise for them. And in order that he would fulfill his promise for you. So my friends, Jesus' death has been accomplished for you. Jesus' resurrection has been accomplished for you. He shed his blood for you. And thanks be to God that we have that promise by the inspiration of the Spirit. Now in the epistles, we also get this fight against false teachers. And again, this is where Timothy tells us about those who have itching, or Paul tells Timothy about those who have itching ears. Because ever since Jesus ascended into heaven, indeed even before that, the truth has been at stake. Satan and his demons are alive and well, and they are trying to snatch true belief out of your hearts. Satan in the garden, he only had one trick. Did God really say? That's still the trick that he uses on Christians today. Is the Bible really inspired? Is it really inerrant? Is the whole thing actually true? Yes. Because Jesus is the Scriptures. The Word of God came to dwell among us that way we might know the truth of both the Old and the New Testaments. Within the pages of the Bible is the greatest love story ever told. A story of God's love being poured out for you, his people, through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so today, and always, let us take to heart the God-inspired Word of God. Let us use it as it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That we too may be equipped for every good work in this life and in the next. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.